WTH.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH, the WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. This is the WTH podcast.
It sure is. Back to two-thirds strength. Kareem is back with us. Hello, Kareem.
Good to be back.
Good to have you. Coming up on the show today, there was a celebrity marriage. The XFL announces a TV deal for next season. And the people of Plattsburgh have issues. We'll discuss them in Small Town News. But before we get to all that, Kareem, it's been a couple weeks. How you been?
Kareem personally is doing well. I've been getting work done on my the exhibition, which is like 3 weeks away.
Coming right up.
Yeah. Got pictures, some more pictures back from Mike's camera, and got some more ordered. And should be ordering the last of them tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. I've been getting a lot of feedback online, which has been great.
Cool.
I think I've had like 3,000 people respond to the two ads I've run. Two or three ads, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that's great. I'm excited about that. Went to North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Now, that was a good trip. I think we're talking about that on the third show. Or did we have, are we doing two?
Oh, we're doing three.
Three. Okay. So, yeah. So
we're back to three. We've got, a lot of stuff going on. Of course, as you may or may not know, if you're new to the show, we record all of them at one shot. So, no, we're not talking about that. There's something that came out in the news from North Carolina that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, the third show is the Monday show, and that's where we air the grievances. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe there will be something about your trip there.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I went to a wedding in North Carolina. One of my really good friends got married. I met the Poet Laureate of Wales.
Wow.
Yes. Got to hear him do a poem, and then he heard me do a poem. He did a poem at the reception. I did one at, he did one at the brunch reception, and then I did one at the evening reception.
Okay.
And then he was impressed with my poetry, so I felt a little good about myself.
Nice.
And then he actually asked me to look over one that he was working on.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that made me feel even better about myself.
That's a nice surprise.
Yeah.
And you didn't just go to the wedding website and pull a poem off of there.
Right. I actually wrote the poem between the brunch reception and the evening reception, so that was even better.
You should be like that dude who sits at the Midtown Farmers Market and will write poems for people, and you pay whatever you want.
That's an idea.
That's his whole gig.
Yeah.
He sits there, I think he has a little typewriter, and he writes a poem, and you pay him whatever you think it's worth. I've not done that because I'm afraid it would be... My value of his poem might not be that high. I can get a whole book of them for $10.
Yeah, that's always that's always the scary part. Yeah, but that was cool. And then so my friend is actually also the ex. So it was a little weird, but not too weird.
Okay,
because it was almost like the ending of a relationship. Because she's been an ex for a long time, but I've actually never seen her with anybody else. So I don't know. It's so,
right.
It's a little, yeah. But love her new husband.
Oh, nice.
She's like, oh, so you like him? I was like, no, I love him. I love this guy. I can't explain it, but you know, he's a good dude. I like I said, I love him. And that's how you know you truly love someone, when you can be honestly happy about seeing them with somebody else that makes them happy without there being a thought of anything else.
Right.
Yeah. So nice to know that I've grown that much as a person.
Good deal. Yeah. Good deal. It's been busy around here. Of course, last week, last week you were still away because you were dealing with some things, and Jason, of course, had baby number two. So thank you, everybody, who sat through the three shows with just me.
Oh,
I hope you enjoyed them. No, they were fine. They were a little. I kept them a little bit shorter because, yeah, you know, when you're just talking to yourself in a room, even Rush Limbaugh has a producer that he rambles at occasionally, and he has callers.
Yeah,
I'm just in here talking about news stories and all this other stuff. So, at a certain point, I'm just like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I've had enough.
You didn't wrangle the missus in the.
No, because when you let me know you weren't going to be able to come and do it, it was middle of the afternoon. She was still at work, and I just said, oh, I'm just going to do them, yeah, get them done. And because, you know, the show prep's all done. We had the stories to talk about. It was just a matter of going through and doing it.
Yeah.
And I had my take. It's just the airing of the grievances was really short.
Yeah.
Because it was just me, and at that point I was tired.
Gotcha.
So not a lot of that, but... yeah, everything pressing forward, and yeah, it's interesting. I went this past weekend and helped Christiana's husband Rob had done a birthday beer, and they were bottling it. And I had completely spaced on the brewing day, and I felt really bad about that. Not like crying bad, but like, you know, when you realize an event has passed by,
yeah,
and you'd kind of wanted to go, and you're like, God damn it. So when I got the notice, oh, hey, we're bottling this weekend, I was like, oh, great, I'll go over. And so ran the capper for him for a little bit and hung out with him and saw Christiana for a little bit. But pretty chill. I mean, it's beer week. I've not been really participating. Leslie is doing some lifestyle changes, and I said I would do Whole 30, and for the most part I am.
Yeah.
With a couple of exceptions. So I've pretty much been ignoring beer week, although I did have a beer when I was at YOLO Brewing,
gotcha,
bottling a beer. But so I'm not like hardcore Whole 30, but for the most part, I'm trying to keep it on that level because, yeah, it doesn't hurt me to be a little healthier too.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose a couple pounds too. Looking at myself in the mirror while I was getting ready for the trip. Like, yeah, I think I might need to lose a couple pounds.
Summer is coming. It's the opposite of Game of Thrones. Summer is coming to Sacramento. So, yeah. All right. Let's. What else? We're going to talk about that. Jason, proud father for the second time.
Congratulations, Jason.
Happy, healthy baby. They are at home. And I asked him yesterday, I said, are you going to be back this week? And he said, no.
Used to the second baby.
Getting used to having two babies. Well, two babies and diapers is what he's got.
Yeah.
So that is a lot. And so we'll see. Hopefully he'll be back next week, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, life comes first.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's the case. Speaking of babies and royal babies, this popped through Monday afternoon. And I was like, oh, interesting headline. It's an opinion piece from the LA Times. Will Meghan Markle and Prince Harry raise their baby to be black? And I thought, let's talk about that. She's American. She's biracial and the wife of Prince Harry. And they managed to have a baby boy on her terms, which is to say in an undisclosed location. Although we all know the young British royal couple has been holed up at their Windsor home named Frogmore Cottage. Don't know exactly where she gave birth, and it was on an undisclosed timetable. Everybody found out about it when Harry and Meghan announced it on Instagram, and Buckingham Palace announced it too. So Meghan didn't submit to the postpartum photo call. There will be no pictures of her making red carpet departure from the hospital, looking preternaturally polished in full makeup and hair while wearing a dress and high heels and carrying a newborn, like her sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, the wife of Prince William, did with all three of their children. So here's the question. Kareem, do you care if they raise their child black?
No.
Is it even possible for the royal family of England to raise their child black?
No. So...
I'm like, wait, what?
So it's really interesting that this comes up now. So at the wedding, like I said, I met the Poet Laureate of Wales.
The wedding you just went to, not the royal wedding. Yeah,
the one I just went to. And so Femi, who's Naomi's new husband, he's from the islands, but he's from what was a British territory. So he spent time in Britain.
Okay.
And so so we were talking about racism in Britain, and it's almost as bad as it is here.
Okay.
So it's gotten as, he said it's actually gotten worse lately.
Is it because Idris Elba is going to be James Bond?
It's not Idris Elba this time.
Oh, okay.
But he was telling me that it's almost black. So I don't know what the baby's name is. He will have some black experiences in.
Well, sure.
Yeah. So, because somebody's going to call him whatever the English or British equivalent of nigga is.
It may be the same thing. We don't know.
Be the same thing, yeah.
It was an interesting thing. They have not announced the name, I don't believe. So yeah, I mean that. So that was the whole point of the editorial. Will they raise their baby to be black? It's like, well, there's part of the baby that's black.
Well, I mean, you go by the one drop rule, the baby will be black. Period. But I don't even know if Meghan was raised to be black.
Well, that's the thing. Wasn't she raised by her mom?
Yeah.
I mean, and her dad's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's the whole idea of being raised to be black. Like, if you're black, you're raised black.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, and yes, but it's the whole Fresh Prince of Bel Air thing.
Yeah.
If you're raised in an atmosphere where there aren't any other black people and you're in this era of this area of luxury, and the royal family is a whole other level of that. I mean, aside from, oh, let's go and talk about this or do whatever. It's like the Kardashians do their episode about the once a year that they go down to the homeless shelter.
Yeah, but part of it is it's kind of like, and this is the thing that I've noticed going back home and spending time with different nieces and nephews. And then the kids that I've coached or whatever, it really just depends on what peer group that you gravitate towards anyway.
Sure.
One of my nephews, he's a nerd. I mean, he's a really smart kid, but he's a nerd. And so, you know, he's into Japanese anime and all of the things that the kids that are into that, which tends to be like a diverse group of kids, are into.
Right.
And then I get another nephew that hangs out with just black people. And then another nephew that just hangs out with white people and goes hunting and four-wheeling and has a pickup truck, and he considers himself a redneck.
There you go.
So it just depends on which peer group that you kind of.
Isn't that what Martin Luther King was talking about?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sounds like we're making progress.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and my other nephew, whose wedding we're going to in August, he's marrying a white woman. back in North Carolina.
Leave some for the rest of us.
So in North Carolina. So, but it's the same thing. It just depends on which peer group that you kind of
exactly
gravitate towards, and people that are doing stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah, because then it's people being people.
Yeah.
And not people being black or white.
Right.
Or whatever it might be. So interesting question, if it's even possible. The other thing, and I talked about this on the Morning Crunch Wrap on Monday, the XFL, which was around in 2001, it's back next year, baby. And they're going to broadcast half of their games on ABC and Fox. So the Spring Football League hopes to do better than it did the first time around, and its predecessor, the Alliance of American Football, which shut down operations last month and face a bevy of lawsuits. Weird that they signed Johnny Manziel and then almost immediately shut down.
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon said, "We're thrilled to partner with ESPN and Fox Sports, two innovative media companies with extensive experience in world-class football production that will undoubtedly help us reimagine football. The XFL broadcast schedule provides us with an incredible reach and makes it easy for fans to watch our games consistently every weekend. They're going to have two games on Saturday and two games on Sunday. They're going to be on ABC, ESPN, Fox, and FS1. And some games will be on FS2. There will be no rights fees paid by the networks, but both ESPN and Fox will hold the streaming rights to games and will handle cross-promotion plus selling ads. The XFL season starting February 8th, just 6 days after the Super Bowl, which will be held at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida. Dallas, Houston, LA, New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C. are the inaugural franchises. Now, those are all NFL cities except for St. Louis. So I don't know, and I talked about this a little bit on the Morning Crunch Wrap. I'm like, how are they going to do? Are you going to be a Cowboys fan? And then I would say 6 days later, but the Cowboys aren't going to the Super Bowl. but are you going to then turn around and go, I like football. There's an XFL team here in Dallas. I'm going to root for them.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think it's going to be a whole different group of people.
And after watching how the other league failed, it doesn't give me much hope for this one.
This one has failures of the past to learn from. They've got a much better TV deal, which is huge, because that's really the big thing. Now, WWE's parent company,
yeah,
which is behind the XFL, has just signed a pair of $1 billion contracts for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown with USA and Fox Network. So they don't have a cash flow issue.
Right.
And so you've got the big bank accounts coming in behind them. You've got a small league. It's run Oliver Luck, who's Andrew Luck's dad, is running the league. He's an experienced executive. And I don't know. I mean, it's really going to depend on if people show up.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, I think they will, because they don't have an NFL team anymore. But, I mean, in D.C., the Redskins are the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup last year, and they had like 2 or 3 weeks of, yeah, and then that was it. Houston, L.A., they've got two teams. New York has two teams.
And L.A. already doesn't necessarily support.
Right. Exactly. Seattle, that's their, you know, Seahawks highlighter colors. And Tampa Bay, I cannot imagine. Now, maybe they'll have enough support for it, but at least you'll be able to see it on TV.
So the only thing, the thing that's going for, so because Dallas and Houston have basketball teams, so that cuts into that.
Mm-hmm.
New York, same thing. And
well, Dallas has a hockey team as well.
Yeah,
LA has two basketball teams and a hockey team. New York has three hockey teams in the metro area and two basketball teams.
And Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving could be on the New York Knicks next year.
Could be.
And the Brooklyn Nets are playing well as well.
Right.
So that's.
Yeah. Yeah, Seattle's getting I don't know when they start, but Seattle's getting an NHL franchise. Tampa Bay has an NHL franchise. Washington has both NBA and NHL. There's a lot of sports going on in all of those cities, except for St. Louis. They've got the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. So, but I'm looking at February, and you got those. So, you know, you're starting to ramp up.
They're going to start right around NBA's All-Star break.
Right.
So they've got that going for them. That it'll be those weird all-star weekends.
Yeah.
And it's only 2 days a week. So it's not that big of a time commitment. It's really 1 day a week if you're rooting for one team. So I don't know.
But you got that, and then you're leading into March Madness.
Right.
And so I don't know.
I do have a soft spot in my heart for the XFL because I won my XFL fantasy league. So I am undefeated in XFL Fantasy League play.
Got you.
From 2001. Now, I stopped doing fantasy sports, I believe, around 2009. So I got into fantasy sports early, and I got out early. In and out. So a much better TV deal than their predecessor. They're going to be done by April 26th of next year. So it goes February 8th to April 26th, and that game is going to be on ESPN. So probably right after the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So right in that same time frame.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting because, you know, there are more people show up for the NFL draft now.
And it's in Vegas next year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of sporting events.
They ruined so many bachelorette parties.
Yes.
Thank
you, NFL draft.
Talked about that last week. All right. So this next thing, and we talked about stroke as well last week on the Morning Crunch Wrap, because this story came through. Olympic legend Michael Johnson, you remember him, the fastest man in the world? He made a full recovery after a terrifying stroke last September. He's back, and he's even sprinting again. Now, he's 51, same age as John Singleton, by the way. He won 4 gold medals in 3 Olympics. He tells TMZ Sports he suffered a stroke on the right side of his brain right after a workout back in September. At the time, he said he felt discomfort in his left leg, numbness in his left arm, and quickly began to lose balance. So he rushed to the emergency room to get checked out. That is one of the reasons why he's alive. He said, by the time I got to the hospital, I couldn't walk anymore. I couldn't stand on my left side. But fortunately, I got there quickly and was able to get treated by a team of specialists. He went several months working hard in rehabilitation programs, including physical and occupational therapy. And he said he approached rehab like he was training for the Olympics. It's just insane. Luke Perry also died after having a stroke as well. And he was pretty young as well, in his early mid 50s. So it's just so important to know the warning signs.
There was a lady who she was one of the she was a brain doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Like the world renowned, like a Harvard, like the person that people who had strokes would go to for brain treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a stroke. Jill Bolt Taylor, that's her name. Like, she had a stroke like in her early 40s, I think it was. And like, she had like a full recovery, but she had the stroke on the other side of the brain.
Well, and it can be one side or the other, but the biggest thing when you have a stroke is getting treatment quickly, because they can do things if you're treated quickly. When my mom had her stroke, she was out driving, and it was an extraordinary amount of time before she was able to get any treatment at all. And she never fully recovered.
Right.
And one of the things about having a stroke is, especially if you don't get a full recovery like Michael Johnson did, then you are susceptible to a ton of other little things that really just chip away at your health over the course of time. So talked about this again. If you think someone is having a stroke, or they're like, I feel weird, do the FAST assessment and the set to tell if somebody else is having a stroke. You look at their face, ask them to smile. If one side of the face droops, then they could be having a stroke. Have them raise both arms. If one drifts downward, they could be having a stroke. And then ask them to repeat a simple phrase. If their speech is slurred or strange, then they could be having a stroke. And the T is for time. So if you get any of those, you call 911 immediately and get them in for help. The other thing is, if you feel like you're not feeling quite right, these are the symptoms of stroke in yourself. Sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, especially one side of the body. Sudden confusion, trouble speaking or understanding. Sudden trouble seeing in one or both eyes. Sudden trouble walking, dizziness, loss of balance or coordination, and a sudden severe headache with no known cause. Michael Johnson recognized those and got help immediately.
Yeah. And there's been a lot, the treatment has become a lot better lately.
They've got drugs, they call them clot busters,
that can
attack the blockage, and so that it doesn't go fully, because if it goes fully to the brain, you're done.
Done, yeah.
You're absolutely done.
Yeah. My Sacramento dad had one in Panama back in the 90s. And they had a drug. They had the Clotbuster drug there then.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't been approved here yet.
Right.
And then, I'm going to say like 10 years ago, my aunt back in North Carolina had one. And see, they had the drug for her. Because my friend was like, oh, it's a miracle. Ain't the Lord great? And I was like, no, the pharmaceutical companies in America was finally able to get their version of that drug.
Yeah, my mom could not get that drug because where they live is middle of nowhere. And they were going to fly. So she had the stroke while she was driving. Somebody saw her go off the road.
Oh, wow.
Called 911, but it was a 20-minute drive to the hospital. They get to the hospital. They were going to airlift her to the big hospital that has medicine, and the weather was too bad, and they could not fly.
Oh, shit.
So then it became another two-hour ambulance ride, and at that point, there was no drug. She was in intensive care for 2 weeks, and she was able to go home, but she never regained use on the right side of her body, and she never spoke again either. So, yes, there was a lot of recovery, but it was never coming back all that way. And part of it was that, but who knows if that could have been it. My dad actually was in the hospital for an operation, and they took him off the blood thinner because they have to do an operation. And that's when he had his stroke. So, obviously, he was able to get treatment immediately. But even then, the following day, the doctor was on the phone with me saying, you'll probably want to be here by the end of the week because you may have to make some decisions.
Wow.
The next day, as I was getting on a plane, my cousin called and said he was sitting up talking to people. So it's really weird, but he still went to a rehab facility for a month and he wasn't right for a very long time.
Yeah.
Really able to, there was all sorts of other symptoms to it. So it's really, really super incredibly serious to know what these things are. And if you feel them, or if you see somebody goes, I don't feel right, ask them to smile, have them raise their arms, have them talk to you. And any of those things, 911, get them to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because you will hate yourself if you don't. If they get there and everything's cool, so be it. It's an abundance of caution.
Yeah.
No big deal. All right. Let's move on to something happier. Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones got hitched to Joe Jonas in Vegas. The Reverend Elvis officiated told TMZ he was booked for the wedding a week earlier, but wasn't told who was getting hitched. TMZ was told Joe and Sophie booked the entire chapel from 8 p.m. to midnight, so no other weddings were going down. Jesse Grice is the Reverend Elvis. He says he recognized the Jonas Brothers, but had no idea who Sophie Turner was because he doesn't watch Game of Thrones. He's
Welcome
the guy.
To the club.
He's the guy. You and him. He serenaded them with Viva Las Vegas after the I Do's. They got married on what would have been the 52nd anniversary of the marriage between Elvis and Priscilla Presley. So congratulations to the happy couple. If you do watch Game of Thrones, you might have spotted this. I did not at the time, but I found out the next day someone left a Starbucks cup on the table in a scene in Game of Thrones that made it all the way through to airing.
I saw that. I wasn't sure if somebody had Photoshopped that in there or if it was real.
I was skeptical as well. So I went back to the HBO Go and I went to the article on TMZ and it said about where it was. It's like 1742 in. And sure enough, there was that damn Starbucks cup. I took a picture of my TV screen. Like, yeah, that's one of the first things I tell inexperienced video producers to do.
Yeah.
When they set up to shoot somebody, get out of your camera lens and open your eyes and look at the scene and see if there's anything that doesn't belong there or looks odd.
Yeah.
And clearly that did not happen there. So Game of Thrones. All right. Let's see what we got here. You know what? I want to make sure I hit the right button. Oh yeah. Let's hit this button.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline, couple had sex in front of police headquarters. Defendant dismissed act as a, quote, Key West moment.
It was a fuck you to the police.
I haven't been to Key West, but sometimes the suspects just come to you. That's right. Two Florida lovebirds are facing criminal charges after they were caught having sex on Monday night last week on the sidewalk outside the police headquarters in Key West. Cops say Gary Hill and Crystal Francis had shared a pint of vodka before they began trysting in public. Cops learned about the coupling around 9 p.m. from a female passerby who reported the duo was poised to have sex in front of the headquarters. Hey, y'all might want to come outside. When a patrolman went outside to investigate, he spotted the 46-year-old Hill with his pants down having sex with Francis, who was not wearing pants or underwear. The couple lying down on the sidewalk was actively engaging in sexual intercourse. "I'm horny," Hill explained when confronted by the officer. "She was giving it up to me right then and there." Hill would also chalk up the illicit encounter as a Key West moment. He was arrested for indecent exposure, booked into the Monroe County Jail on the misdemeanor charge. His address is listed as Streets of Key West in jail records and is locked up on $7,500 bond. Scheduled for arraignment May 21st. Francis, not arrested at the scene since she was severely intoxicated, taken to the hospital for treatment. An arrest warrant is likely in her future, though.
Did they not know the rules to having sex in public? Is don't pull your pants down.
Well, or do it in front of the police station.
You can do it in front of the police station. Just keep your pants up.
Apparently not. Also in Florida, moron gang members misspell racial slur forcibly tattooed on victim's neck. Now, before you get too upset, it was one of their own. Now, angry that a 41-year-old associate had violated rules, members of the Crazy White Boys, their gang, they forcibly inked over the victim's CWB tattoo and attempted to permanently add a racial slur on the Florida man's neck. But the gang members misspelled the slur and have now been charged with multiple felonies for their moronic mission, a gambit for which they now likely have deep regrets. After barging into the victim Michael Hart's residence in late January, the intruders used the tattoo gun to color over his gang patch. As described in arrest affidavit, a box was outlined around the letters CWB and then scribbled all in an attempt to color over the entire tattoo. If you've seen Sons of Anarchy, you've seen that happen to one guy anyway. The gang members, led by Brett Wolf Singleton, then sought to add a racial slur to Hart's body, but what they end up tattooing on the victim was the phrase, "Fuck Niger." That's right, fuck Niger. And Chad and all of those other African countries. Hart is...
Wow.
Hart had a mugshot taken after that tattoo attack, too, so we can see what it looks like. While the CWB has been colored over, it's hard to discern the fuck Niger part of the tattoo. He was photographed in mid-March after beginning a 4-year state prison sentence for methamphetamine possession. He previously served state time for grand theft.
He looks like he's still on meth right now.
You know, so he's the victim in all of this, by the way. So I find it hard to feel too terribly bad for him. Yeah, always check the spelling on your tattoos because they're permanent. It's weird that racists would be that ignorant, Kareem.
Yeah, it is.
And that is Florida Corner. I want to thank everybody who's been doing their Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com. Or if you're old school, NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate you doing that. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. So thank you so much for doing that. There's also the Shop Target tab up there, too, if you're more of a Target shopper. All right, let's get out of Florida and head to a more, how you say, moral state like Utah, home of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, weak alcohol, and, well, this lady. As she accused her boyfriend of cheating, a 24-year-old woman stripped off her clothes on a Saturday afternoon and began dancing, shouting in the parking lot of a busy Utah shopping center. Responding to a call about a naked female and fighting a male, a cop in Sandy, a city 18 miles south of Salt Lake, encountered Caitlin Adderley in the lot at the Commons at Southtown. A probable cause affidavit indicates, excuse my tongue, that Adderley disrobed outside a Verizon store and adjacent to a Nothing Bundt Cakes outlet. Ha ha ha, wordplay. Get it? Nothing Bundt Cakes? Yeah. Yes. Adderley, who was dressed when the cops arrived, reportedly said she took off her clothes, quote, because her boyfriend doesn't want her anymore, end quote. Well, I guess that's a reason. Is that like an invitation to everybody else?
I thought it was saying a strip club. She stripped off her clothes and danced naked in a strip club. And I was like, oh, well, that's appropriate. But
Strip mall. Not club.
Was anybody naked in? Was anybody else in the strip mall? That's the question.
Well, her boyfriend said that Adderley got nude as she accused him of cheating, as first reported by Pat Reavy in the Deseret News. A witness who lodged the complaint with police said she spotted Adderley naked in public dancing, shouting, and grabbing at a male. The witness, who was accompanied by her two-year-old, said the minor also viewed Adderley's display, which took place in a public area with constant vehicle and pedestrian traffic. Arrested for disorderly conduct and lewdness involving a child. It wasn't involving a child. There was a kid in the area. She was booked into the Salt Lake County Jail. That's a weird charge. Lewdness involving a child makes it sound like you were doing something to the child.
Yeah. That's overcharging it as usual.
That is a stretch. That is a stretch, my friend. Let your freak flag fly, but not in Utah. Not in Utah. You know, if we said that was Florida, people would believe us.
Yes. So.
All right. Let's wrap this here show up. Oh, make sure I hit the right thing. Hold on. No. Oh yeah, it's this one. Please hold. I'm going to turn the pot back up. It's this one.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Good Lord. What's wrong with me? This is Speak Out from April 30th from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York. Get ready for some logic. This first one's called Slavery. Both Dems and Reps owned African-American slaves. And the fact is, the Rep Party actually turned their backs on all slaves when they needed help the most. It's time to stop blaming both sides for what happened years ago. KKK were at their worst back in 1865. The Southern states were at their worst as well. Time to come together. As far as guns, no one needs 50 guns or more. We're not back in the Civil War fighting. It's a weird one.
Yeah. Are there any black people in Plattsburgh?
There are a few. There's more than when I left.
Is there more than 10?
I would say yes. More than 100, I couldn't go there. I don't know. The city gym purchased used weight room equipment from a closed local gym, which was a welcome addition to the equipment offering. Some of that used equipment had pads that had rips and was sent out to get repaired or reupholstered weeks ago. During this period, the equipment has not been usable, and it's been several weeks. It is unacceptable that it should take that long. So, who are you mad at?
That's the question.
The upholstery shop? The city? What? That the new equipment is unusable? Well, you didn't have it before. Hey, does anyone not understand the exodus from New York? Governor frees felons, restores rights taken legally as punishment, raises taxes and punishes the middle class, makes criminals out of legal gun owners, frees criminals without bail, paid time off to vote, punishes employers, kisses up to New York City at the expense of upstate, etc. New York State needs an electoral college vote for governor. This guy would be gone.
Your vote counts.
That's not how any of this works, you angry, sad person. By the way, if you have not caught The Simpsons, not the one this past Sunday, the Sunday before, it's all about upstate New York, and there's a song, and it is so perfect. As someone who's lived in upstate New York, go check that out. And finally, to the person who was shopping and was in pain, I could not let a person go ahead of her who had only one item. Yes, I know what it feels like to be in pain. I've had back pain for over 10 years and several procedures on my back with no results. I have to live with it, but it doesn't mean I have the right to be rude to other people. The person behind me was surprised how this shopper reacted. Like I said, it doesn't hurt to be nice to other people. It wasn't because of the one item. That wasn't the issue. It's just being polite.
You're a dick.
Who is the person who wouldn't let the one person go?
Yeah.
But they were in pain. I'm in pain. I can't wait for one person.
Yeah. Asshole.
Yeah.
Especially if that person only had one item.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're an asshole.
Well, that's what they're being called out for there, too. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for telling a friend. If you haven't already, do that. You've got friends, don't you? Relatives?
A couple.
acquaintances? Coworkers you don't hate?
Somebody that actually likes you?
Yeah, that likes the same things you do. Tell them about the WTH Podcast. We are, of course, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. So let them know. You can find us pretty much wherever you find podcasts, and it's free Monday, Wednesday, and Friday new shows. So thanks for tuning in. For new daddy Jason and for Kareem,
what the hell,
I'm Nate. You have a great one. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new show. Bye bye.
Dirty son of a... That was frickin' crazy.